court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Court appointed. Two dudes' perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Today's topic is one that has been getting a lot of heat.
A lot of heat?
A lot of heat.
A lot of heat in the press.
Heat in the press, a lot of the
fake
hashtags,
news, the real news.
Fake news, real news,
all
hashtags.
News, sun news.
Sun news.
Snooze.
Snooze. Gary Gnu's?
Gary Gnu's?
Yeah, it was like the...
Oh, the Gnu, like G-N-U, the animal? The Gnu?
Yeah, it was like a thing on when I was growing up. It was some cartoon, I can't remember what it was. Or some Muppet show or something.
Yeah, I remember Gary Gnu. I don't remember what it is, but I can remember him there.
Was it Fraggle Rock, maybe?
I don't know. I remember Fraggle Rock, but I don't know. He seems more like a cartoon character, what I'm remembering.
Maybe so.
Anyway. It's a foggy memory for me, though.
It is. This bourbon I'm drinking probably doesn't help.
It's tough getting old.
Help make me remember this. So, well, this episode's about impeachment.
Impeachment?
Impeachment.
Is that a drink?
It could be. growing up, it was kind of funny. I knew it had something to do with politics. And for whatever reason, I always thought it had to do with Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, because he's from the Peach State?
Yeah, because he's from Georgia and peaches. And I was like, I don't know. I always thought it had to do with Jimmy Carter.
He was a peanut farmer.
That's true. He was a peanut farmer.
I don't know what that's got to do with peaches other than Georgia. Georgia's a peach state.
It is. Not the Show Me State. You know where the Show Me State is?
Yeah, it's Missouri.
That's right. I don't know why it's the Show Me State, but...
I don't know either. I remember Clint Eastwood saying that, though, in Outlaw Josie Wales.
What does he say?
That they called those pilgrims. They're from Missouri, the Show Me State. Oh, and the girl makes a comment to him. I don't think I'll go into that dialogue, but she's kind of propositioning him, and she said, well, you know, we're from Missouri. That's the Show Me State.
Let's keep our PG rating.
That's right. We only suggest it. We don't say it.
Actually, we might be PG-13, actually. I don't know. I don't know where they've come down on that rating.
It depends on how many drinks we're into before we start going.
Slightly R sometimes.
I don't think we approach R.
That's the stuff we cut out. All right.
Or we're supposed to. We cut it out of when we had the gremlin discussion.
Oh, yes. So impeachment, you always think when like a president or somebody's impeached that they're basically kicked out of office.
And we just want to say, we are not politically motivated in this whatsoever. We are strictly an informative program. We are here to inform and educate.
Well, we're not strictly informative.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of jokes, too.
Well, yeah, but those are informative, too. They give you something.
We're in the comedy section of iTunes. That means we can't be totally informative.
Totally informative. We like to think we have something worthwhile to say, but the point I'm getting to...
I don't. I just want to make jokes.
Well, you're the serious guy. If you're making jokes, too, we're in trouble. We're going down the tubes here.
I know.
But what I'm trying to say is, we're not advocating this, and we're not saying we're against it. We're just saying that it's a word that's been thrown around a lot, and there's a lot of people talking about it. They're saying, impeach Trump, and we're just saying, well, let's get to the facts. Let's see what impeachment really means. Let's see what's happened in history, how is it worded, and where do we go from here? So, counselor, what is behind an impeachment?
So impeachment is actually a process. Well, let me say where it comes from. It comes from Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. Section 4 says that the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors.
High crimes and misdemeanors.
Yep. When you look at those different elements of the different things you can be impeached for, first is treason, and... The Constitution actually defines treason in Article 3, Section 3, Clause 1, and it defines it as Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act, or on confession in open court. So that is what treason is.
Mm-hmm.
Bribery, there is actually no constitutional definition, but it is a kind of like one of those crimes that we've been handed down from common law through England. And it basically takes place whenever an official is given money or gifts or something to basically influence their behavior in some sort of capacity. So basically, if you pay like a judge to find you not guilty or to issue some sort of ruling in your favor, that would be considered bribery.
The really open question is the high crimes and misdemeanor. I mean, bribery and treason, those are pretty much outlined.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty well defined if somebody's committing bribery or treason. So the real thing that leaves it open that makes this a very vague rule is the high crimes and misdemeanor. Now, I think it was funny that in 1970, then Representative Gerald Ford defined an impeachable offense. The Guinness is working on me.
Yeah.
As whatever a majority of the House of Representatives consider it to be at a given moment in history. So in other words, it's not concrete. And they're saying it's the morals or the attitudes of the times dictates what this would be. There's no clear definition for it.
That's right. The House has begun impeachment proceedings against 17 officials. And this was actually prior to the Clinton administration.
This is a federal thing.
Yeah, it's a federal thing. So basically, impeachment, as is defined in the Constitution, talks about being able to remove a president, vice president, and all civil officers. So I'm going to go more into kind of the history of how that kind of came about in a little bit. But so basically, in all the times they've done this, no official's ever been charged with treason.
Correct.
So the closest,
that'd be pretty hard.
Well, it is. But the closest thing was basically a federal judge who was impeached and convicted for siding with the South during the Civil War. So that was the one kind of closest type situation where that almost happened. There's been two officials who've been charged with bribery. Now, these are not presidents. These are just most of the impeachments have been against judges.
Judges. Yeah, I saw that list. Some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah. You know, most of these things do fall under the high crimes and misdemeanors. So basically, like you're asking, what is that? And Gerald Ford had his opinion on it. But whenever you're looking at the legislative history, which is what you do oftentimes, whenever you have something that some law or something that's kind of vague and you're not really sure what it means, you have to look to the legislative history and actually read the minutes of the legislatures, whoever basically is kind of discussing it and what their legislative intent was. And that's how you kind of can determine what it's supposed to mean. So when we're trying to figure out what high crimes and misdemeanors means, that means we have to go back all the way to the Constitutional Convention because that's where it is.
All right. Let's go back in time. Woo, Peabody, take me back. That makes you Sherman. Well, you're Peabody. I was saying that. I'm Sherman.
Well, in today's definition, you might think high crimes and misdemeanors would basically mean felonies and misdemeanors because felonies are high crimes or they're higher priority or worse. And misdemeanors are just simply misdemeanors.
Misdemeanors.
But basically, high crimes and misdemeanors then would just basically mean any criminal act.
Isn't misdemeanor a rapper?
She is. She made her triumphant return during the Super Bowl not too long ago.
So you don't want to have any felonies or be with misdemeanor?
I would like to hang out with misdemeanor. She seems pretty cool.
Huh. Well, you won't be able to be president for very long if you do.
So back during the Constitutional Convention, impeachment of judges and executive officials by Congress was one of the checks and balances that was really important to the people at that convention. In particular, judges, because they essentially have a lifetime appointment, and they definitely needed some sort of check on their power. Because if there wasn't a way to remove them, essentially they would be in there forever, and just there's nothing you do to get rid of them. Some people said that during this there was a debate that essentially the executive officials should not have impeachment because they are checked every 4 years by elections. Well, it was James Madison of Virginia, and he basically said that 4 years did not really provide enough of a check and a balance on a president. Because if there was a president who was essentially incapacitated in office or abusing their power, some sort of corruption, that could be really bad because a lot of bad stuff could happen in a four-year period of time. They kind of agreed then, based on those arguments, that there probably needed to be some sort of impeachment or some sort of check on that power. So then once they decided there had to be some sort of check on that power, it's like, okay, well, what what do we basically say is going to be that check on that power? You know, at what point do we say enough is enough, we need to get rid of this guy, or we need to impeach him?
Where's the check on that balance?
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Don't write a check that your ass can't cash.
That's a lesson my mama taught me a long time ago.
That's right. Write a check with your mouth that your ass can't cash.
My mom actually used that phrase quite a bit.
That's a good one to keep in mind in a lot of situations, not just in the presidency.
It's done me well throughout my life. That's right. When they agreed that you need to have some sort of impeachment, one committee proposed the grounds be treason, bribery, and corruption. Another committee felt that like the matters could not yet be decided, and they wanted to delete corruption, but they felt that treason and bribery were things that would be bad, because you don't want to have an executive official who's treasonous, you don't want to have an executive official who's accepting bribes, things like that. Essentially, that the treason and bribery was not enough to make everybody happy, and it was George Mason of Virginia who basically, he wanted to add this term called maladministration. Because he didn't feel like basically treason and bribery was enough to kind of get all that in there. He pointed to the English case of Warren Hastings, and he was had an impeachment trial that was being heard in London. Hastings was the governor general of Bengal of England, or in India, and he was accused of corruption and treating the Indian people very brutally. A lot of people thought this term was so vague that it could possibly threaten the separation of powers, because maladministration is not really kind of defined. It's just kind of an amorphous term. And it give Congress possibly too much power over the executive branch. They abandoned that term maladministration and said high crimes and misdemeanors against the state.
Well, maladministration, and I mean, I've never heard that term before, but I'm guessing that basically what they're saying is, we don't like the way you're doing things. You're not doing things the right way, so we're gonna get rid of you.
Right, and that could be way too much power over the executive branch by Congress.
And what that makes me think of is, you've got one political party that's in power in the presidency and another one in Congress. If your situation was that you had a Democratic president and you have Republicans controlling the House and the Senate, they decide they want to do everything they can to get rid of that president. And that's, you know, that's not right. That's not, it shouldn't be based on political party. And that gives those a lot of power if that was an easy process.
Yeah. And essentially that's what impeachment is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a check on abuse of power.
Because you're always going to disagree with people. And just because they do things differently than you think they should be done, doesn't mean that they're high crimes and misdemeanors.
Exactly. Now, they eventually, as we know, because of what's in the Constitution and what I said earlier in the podcast, they adopted that high crimes and misdemeanor standard. And there wasn't actually much discussion about it.
Well, I think it was James Madison that said that he thought it should be kept vague, that he didn't want to specifically add that in there.
What it meant?
Yes.
Yeah.
That define it exactly what you're looking for, that he felt it should be kept vague.
Well, the term high crimes and misdemeanors, it actually did have a pretty well-known meaning, because basically since 1386, the English Parliament had used that high crimes and misdemeanors as grounds to impeach officials of the crown as well. So again, we're getting a lot of our jurisprudence and law and government from England.
Now, you can't break away and then use all their laws. They got to quit doing that.
It's, as long as you give proper citation, then, you know, it's good. It's not plagiarism. It's good.
William Shakespeare invented this rule.
Yeah. So there were different offenses, but basically it was like misappropriating government funds, not spending money that was allocated properly by Parliament, disobeying an order from Parliament, arresting somebody to keep them from running from Parliament, just different things like that. Things that on their face, you shouldn't be doing. Not all these charges were crimes, but some of them were. So some of them were just almost like that maladministration, but with a bit more bite to it, I guess, than just the vague term. The essential common denominator of high crimes and misdemeanors is that basically you've have power and you've abused it, and based upon that, you're unfit to serve in that capacity any further. That was kind of the basis of it.
And some things along those lines are pretty cut and dried. Like you talked about the federal officials that have been impeached in the past. And they've got charges in there, like, and it's funny, as I read through these, the ones that are pretty clear cut, they ended up getting removed over. Mm-hmm. The ones that are a little bit vaguer, they ended up either getting acquitted or they dropped the charges or something like that. Like, they had drunkenness and unlawful rulings. The guy was removed. Political bias and arbitrary rulings promoting a partisan agenda. He was acquitted. So, you know, when they go through there, abuse of power. Abuse of power is a pretty general term to try to commit somebody.
Yeah.
And, they, you know, they were acquitted for that. Another judge supporting the Confederacy.
Yeah.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, you know. So the guy, now he was removed and disqualified, but that's because the Union won.
Right.
So he was on the wrong side on that one. Drunkenness, graft, corruption, those guys, you know, those guys get it. Tax evasion, you get removed for tax evasion when they prove tax evasion. But when they, you know, here's one, this was in 2009, federal judge. Sexual assault and obstruction of justice during the resulting investigation. Yeah, that's a pretty good reason to remove a judge.
Obstruction of justice is probably the big one. Sexual assault in and of itself might not be something, I mean, it's horrible, but it might be something that's going to be somebody to remove somebody in impeachment. But the obstructing justice, that's a bit more, that's abusing your power.
Exactly. And in a lot of these, it's like you find out, and some of these people, they were removed through impeachment, and some they just ended up quitting so that they wouldn't get removed from, you know, just like Nixon did.
Well, one of our favorite people, Alexander Hamilton, he basically explained impeachment in Federalist Paper number 65, and he said that those offenses are those offenses which proceed from the misconduct of public men, or in other words, from the abuse or violation of some public trust. They are of a nature which may, with peculiar propriety, be denominated political, as they relate chiefly to injuries done immediately to the society itself. So essentially, you know, breaking the public trust is what is the really the thing that's like really, really bad.
One of the things when I looked at that list of judges, there was an inordinate number of judges that were charged or impeached that were from Florida. I don't know what it is from Florida. I have nothing against Florida. I mean, I'm not.
Well, it gets hot down there.
I guess so. It gets too hot because it was like one third of the list of the ones that went were from Florida or something.
Well, you also got to think that's one of those things that's a little bit skewed by the sheer number of people that hold those positions. There's way more federal judges than there are senators or members of the House of Representatives or presidents for that matter. So you have a bigger number you're drawing from, so you're more likely to have it. So
that's true.
Well, now we've talked a little bit about what impeachment is and the different things you can be impeached for, but now the question is, you know, how does it work?
Well, do tell.
Essentially what happens is, and this is the boiled down version, I'll go into more detail, but the House votes to impeach and then the Senate votes to convict. It's kind of a two-stage process. Now, the House Judiciary Committee, and this is in the first stage, they'll take up articles of impeachment, why they think somebody should be impeached. Then essentially that passes the House Judiciary Committee, it comes to the House floor, and the House votes on it.
So they have to come up with, they have to decide what actual laws this person violated and present that to the House?
Well, or what fits under the criteria of impeachment, the treason, bribery, high crimes and misdemeanors. So it has to be in one of those things.
Yeah, they got to outline what it is that the guy did, right?
Yeah, it can't just be he got a DUI. That's not enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it would be pretty scandalous if a president of the United States got a DUI, but would that actually be impeachable offense? Probably not.
You never know, but why would he even be driving?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, they got limos and they got drivers. I don't, you know, I can't understand that. I can't understand rich people that get DUIs. You see these movie stars and stuff that get DUIs. Why don't you have somebody doing that stuff for you? You don't have to get behind the wheel. Just pay somebody.
Or Uber. I can't imagine how anybody get DUI anymore because of Uber. If you live somewhere and have Uber, just
especially if you're in a big city.
Uber it up. Or lift it up.
Pour Uber on it.
So once the House comes up, I almost think of this as kind of like a preliminary hearing or probable cause hearing. This is like the basic bare bones thing the House votes on, like, yeah, there's probably probable cause to have this. And then essentially what happens after that is that it moves on to the Senate. And the Senate is where you kind of have the regular trial.
Let me clarify. In the House, they need a simple majority.
Yes.
To pass it on to the Senate.
Yes. Simple majority. And it gets passed on to the Senate. And then in the Senate, you actually have the full trial. As far as impeachment goes, there's really not a lot of procedural guidelines on how these things are supposed to take place. It's pretty much a bare bones thing that's only really happened 18 times, I think 18 times in the history of our country. So it's not something that's really been done a lot. There's a lot of precedent for. In the Senate, you'll have testimony, you'll have lawyers, witnesses, and all that kind of stuff. And then essentially, the Senate votes on whether or not to convict for impeachment. And that requires a two-thirds vote of the Senate to convict somebody of impeachment.
So two-thirds of the senators have to vote guilty.
Right. Now, the thing is that you can actually be impeached by the House, and that's considered impeachment. But the Senate decides whether or not you're convicted of it and then, in turn, removed from office.
So you can actually be impeached, but you're still president.
Exactly. And we have had that happen several times in history.
Yes.
So,
and I understand that, then when if you're impeached, then there are members, there will be a group from the actual House that will act as the prosecutors and present the case to the Senate. And then the Senate, and of course the person on trial, if it's the president, has his own lawyers there. And the Senate acts as the jury.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's kind of the you know, if you're equating it to a criminal trial.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to break it down to, who does what where. Because, yep. I mean, they do hold it like a trial.
Yep. Like I said, the probable cause hearing is the House, the actual trial is in the Senate. And they're the basically like the jury or the trier of fact.
But if you're the president and you're on trial, you don't have like a government representative that is, you know, it's not like the attorney general is who represents you. You hire your own lawyers to come in and represent you.
Assuming you can afford it. And if you can't afford one, one would be appointed for you.
I don't think the court-appointed lawyer will go the way when the president's on trial. I don't think that's an option.
So formally,
Mike Meadows defends Donald Trump.
Just throw up in my mouth a little bit. So formally, two presidents have actually been impeached. A lot of people think Nixon was impeached, but he actually resigned while the articles were being drawn up.
So they never actually took a vote.
No, but he probably would have been.
He would have been the first one, I think, to go.
Yeah, to actually be removed from office.
If he hadn't chosen to leave on his own.
So the first...
I am not a crook.
The first... We're going to get to him in a second. The first president who was impeached was Andrew Johnson. And this guy...
I always get him confused with Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
I think they should have to have distinct names because it gets too confusing. You got John Madison and John Adams and Andrew Johnson, Andrew Jackson.
John Quincy Adams.
Yeah, you don't know who's who.
John Jay.
Yeah.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
They're completely different people. And Andrew Johnson, he was Lincoln's vice president.
Right. He was the 17th president of the United States, and he served from April 15th, 1865 until March 4th, 1869.
And he actually was not a member of the Republican Party.
Nope.
And neither was Lincoln when he was reelected.
Well, essentially, Andrew Johnson, I think it was kind of one of those political things. He was a Southern Democrat, and they basically put him on the ticket to help kind of draw support from the South and mend bridges a little bit after the Civil War.
Well, it was actually during the Civil War still, and he was the only Southern senator that did not leave the Senate at the time. And so when Lincoln was running for re-election, he actually ran under another party. They called itself the National Union Party.
Mm-hmm.
And they nominated Johnson to be Lincoln's vice president. And then, of course, Lincoln was shot 5 weeks into his new term. So then Johnson assumed what basically was a full term of the presidency, except for 5 weeks.
Right. He faced a lot of political adversity during that tenure.
He was also extremely racist and proud of it.
Wow.
So that was ultimately what caused his uprising there, that with everything, was his thoughts on what was proper to do with slaves, as opposed to the radical Republicans that were running the government because all the Democrats in the South had left. They weren't there voting for anything because they had left because of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So he was at odds with them because he was not on the same page as they were.
They were basically looking for any reason to get this guy.
Yeah, yeah. They did not like the way he operated. Now, but he also, though, Lincoln had a more moderate idea of how he wanted to resurrect the country after the Civil War. The Republicans that were left behind after Lincoln was assassinated, though, did not have that same moderate view. They wanted to force things down the South's throat.
Well, when a moderate,
they were the victors.
When a moderate gets shot by an extremist on the other side, it tends to maybe polarize your views a little bit, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So that kind of muddies the whole water. When you sit here and try to have sympathies for anybody, it kind of muddies the whole water when you read into who was trying to do what.
Now, they brought up 12 articles of impeachment on him and actually went to the trial before the Senate, but he was actually not removed. So
right.
That was the first one.
He was impeached, but he wasn't removed.
Right.
And they tried to, the main point was a law that they passed specifically with him in office called the Tenure of Office Act.
Mm-hmm.
Is when he tried to remove the Secretary of War, who he didn't like because he didn't like the way he was operating. And they had passed this Tenure of Office Act that basically said the president didn't have the right to hire and fire his own cabinet.
Right, which that doesn't make much sense to me.
That they had to go through the Congress to do it. And he fired this guy anyway because he told this guy specifically what he wanted him to do, and the guy didn't do it. So he fired him, which, you know, if you're the owner of a company, you tell a guy to do something, he doesn't do it, you think you got the right to fire him?
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's what he did. So Congress tried to get him on this. Well, it ended up that after this was all settled and it moved on, years later, that law was actually overturned by the Supreme Court. And they've since stricken it, that the president does have those powers to hire and fire his own cabinet.
It's a bad law. I mean, there's no doubt about that, because it takes too much power away from the executive branch.
Yeah, and it was made exclusively for that president.
Now, one of my favorite articles he was impeached for was improper rhetoric. And said he behaved improperly by talking bad about members of Congress. So could you imagine if that was like a standard in this day and age? I mean, it was...
Well, that's because they didn't do what he wanted them to do, so he talked about them.
Yeah.
But and I think what started it is over a five-month period, he fired 1,352 postmasters around the country who were loyal Republicans. And the Republicans, of course, even though Lincoln wasn't technically a Republican, they felt they were in charge. So they didn't take kindly to that. So that's when they passed that tenure of office thing.
Now, the second president who was... Well, I guess he actually was not impeached, but most likely would have been. But whenever you think of impeachment, this is the guy that pops into your head. at least now.
Slick Willie.
No.
What?
Richard Nixon.
Oh, Richard Nixon. Well, he wasn't impeached.
I know, but when you think about impeachment, you always think about him, though.
Well, for me, the first one in my life that I really recognized was when Clinton was.
Well, I mean, just growing up, though, and this is one of those things you really don't know. Like, I didn't know growing up. I always thought Nixon was impeached. It's more of like a... almost like a trivia question that he actually wasn't impeached, but he was about to be.
I remember him turning around, walking to the helicopter, raising the two fingers, the peace sign on each hand, and climbing onto the helicopter with his wife.
That's a pretty iconic shot.
Yeah.
So basically what happened with that, and I'll just give a real brief thing for Nixon, because most of you will know that, is that burglars had broken into the Watergate Hotel, which was the Democrat headquarters during the election in 1972. Those burglars had some links to the White House, and it's not really known whether or not he knew about it or not or whatever, but he pretty much took an active role in kind of obstructing the...
Well, that's where the tapes came in, right?
Yeah, the tapes had come in.
And I think the tapes proved that he knew that was going on.
I don't know exactly. I mean, I haven't looked into the Nixon tapes specifically, but essentially...
Then you have deep throat.
Essentially what took place...
Watergate investigation.
He took an active role in obstructing, and that was one of the main concerns. Is if you're obstructing an investigation, that's one of those things that falls under that whole impeachment type situation.
John Wayne was on his side. When you got the Duke on your side, he said that he would take those White House tapes and he would put them on the front lawn of the White House, and he would pour gasoline on them and burn them before he would turn them over to the investigating committee.
John Wayne's kind of a black and white kind of guy, I think. I don't think he sees a lot of gray area.
Is that in John Wayne, the role that he didn't get when they cast him as a brain surgeon? Well, it looks like we're going to have to yank it out.
So basically the House had voted three articles of impeachment for Nixon. One was obstruction of justice, another was abuse of power, and the third was contempt of Congress for defying the committee's request to produce different documents. So as we know, he resigned, and that was before they actually voted in the articles. Now, I don't know, but I know Spiro Agnew resigned too.
Yeah, he resigned for tax evasion. We got into that last week.
Yeah, was that before Nixon resigned?
Yeah, he resigned first because Gerald Ford... Right. Had already been picked because he was the Speaker of the House, I guess.
Yes.
And so he was moved up to Vice President because Spiro Agnew resigned.
Right. And then Gerald Ford became president once Nixon resigned, and he was the only president actually never elected.
Exactly.
So, and now on to everybody's favorite impeached president.
Slick Willie.
Slick Willie. So Clinton was actually impeached by the House. So the first step was met, but he was not removed from office because the Senate opted not to convict him of it.
Well, so, did they opt not to convict him, or did they just not get the 2/3?
Well, I mean, split it however you want. I mean, he didn't. Well, he didn't.
Don't you think it comes down to politics? So
I think it does to some degree.
I mean, you'd have to have 2/3 would be Republicans to vote him out. And I don't think you had that at the time. I think the Senate was still democratically controlled.
Well, but you got to think too, if you're thinking about impeachment, it's supposed to be a pretty extreme measure. And if you have these different things, treason, bribery,
he perjured himself,
high crimes and misdemeanors, then essentially,
what would the rest of us
get
me, perjured?
Mr. Schmerl.
I'm arguing this.
I'm talking.
I'm passionate.
When I'm talking right now, I have the floor. Do not interrupt somebody when they're talking. I forgot what I was trying to say.
You're shouting me down. No, don't shout me down.
I'm not shouting you down. I
speak the truth. You can't take the truth.
Whether or not, basically, to be impeached, it has to be something pretty egregious. And essentially, the Senate didn't feel it was egregious enough to step across the line, the party lines, then they didn't do it.
Well, you had two different things involved. You had the one was actions that he took with Monica Lewinsky. And then you have the perjury when he sat there holding up his crooked finger and saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Or however he said it. That sounded more like an old man. He said it differently. He sounded like a creepy guy, though, when he said it.
Well, I'm sitting here. I'm going to tell you, you looked pretty creepy doing that.
Well, I'm imitating Slick Willie. But that's what I say, is that he perjured himself. I don't care about the other stuff. As far as I'm concerned, that's between him and his wife.
Right.
The rest of us don't need to know anything about the. If we got into presidential bedroom habits, probably most of our presidents could have been removed for something or another.
But you got to ask yourself, why was that even brought to the forefront to begin with? Why was he testifying about that?
Well, because didn't Monica Lewinsky come forward?
She did.
Okay.
But Kent Starr basically went on this investigation. They did, because they did that with the Whitewater thing as well.
And here's what I would ask you. What if he'd have come right out and said, yes, I did. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. End of the story.
It'd been fine.
And they wouldn't have ever impeached him.
Right.
Or they might have tried, but all they would have had was, okay, he committed adultery. Let those among you that live in a glass house be the first to cast a stone, you know?
Something about a stick in your eye and a plank in another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that would have been a hard thing, but it was the fact that he sat there in front of everybody and said, no, that never happened.
I still do not know whether or not that lying about that meets the criteria for impeachment.
If the DNA doesn't fit, you must acquit.
The DNA fit on the dress. There's no doubt about that, because I think she still had it. That was part of the deal.
She saved that dress as a memento. She was going to auction it off on eBay that was going to be invented 10 years later.
So the charges of impeachment against him were obstruction of justice and perjury. So, but as I said, the Senate voted not to convict him. So they did not get the 2/3 votes. Now, whether or not it was because of party politics or whether or not it's because the Senate just agreed that these are not grounds to impeach, essentially, that was the outcome of it. So,
well, all I'm saying is, it's pretty clear he perjured himself.
Well, now again, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, because I'm not necessarily agree with this position, but if you ask how artfully the question was asked, and he says, I did not have sexual relations with that girl, then you get into the definition, well, what is sexual relations?
Well, so, and he says, it depends on what your definition of is. Do you remember that line?
That's called good lawyering.
Good lawyering. That's called Slick Willie. I'm just saying that it's politically based.
It is.
That's the way this thing goes. I mean,
let me ask you this. Do you think if the House had 49% Republican at that day and age, that the articles of impeachment would have been passed through the House?
No.
Yeah. So it's politically based.
Yes.
it's not perfect, but it's a check and balance, and that's what it's supposed to be. Basically, if you want to impeach a president, there's only one way to do it, and that's basically by Congress, by the House of Representatives. A citizen can't bring any kind of impeachment charge against a president or anything like that. That's got to be through procedure we just talked about. There's no other kind of backdoor way to do it. Now, the current president, President Trump.
There's been a lot of talk about impeachment. As a matter of fact, on the day he was inaugurated, they were already talking about impeaching him.
Well, the Vegas odds have basically been about even money on whether or not Trump was going to be impeached. So basically, if you bet $5, you'd win $5 if he was impeached. So it was even money, like 50-50 chance. The odds have been actually rising. And I saw something on the internet today that basically the odds are 4 to 5. So it basically means if you bet $5 and he is impeached, you would only win 4 because it's
rising that he will be.
It's essentially a 56% chance that he would be. It's more likely than not he's going to be impeached at this point, according to the Vegas odd makers. And you know what?
What?
They keep building casinos.
Name Trump Towers. All right, as we established last week, I'm not much in Vegas. So I understand what you're talking about there with the odds, but you know, I don't keep my receipts. I don't go get a player's card, which I learned I was supposed to do so I can keep track of my losses. I don't even really gamble much. I'm mostly there to lay around the pool because it's got really nice weather. But here's what I want to know. What are the odds on him quitting as opposed to getting impeached? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see those odds.
I bet you those odds are bigger. If just what I observe.
Well,
I mean, my thought is he's going to say, you know what? I don't need this crap, and walk away from it before you'd have a chance to do anything.
You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and know when to walk away.
And know when not to get a facelift.
As we're talking about the whole impeachment thing, it's not a criminal matter. It's essentially kind of a political type thing and a way to remove somebody from office. Now, there could be some sort of crimes that go along with it, but for the most part, it's a political matter or about like a job thing, basically. It's like a getting fired from your job.
Well, you know, they started a petition, and this petition, on the day that Trump went and did his inauguration, 890,000 people had already signed the petition, impeachtrumpnow.org. So, and they said when they got to 900,000, they were going to present it to their representatives.
Yeah.
First of all, you got to act on what the guy does, not what you don't like him. And what really amazes me is I know he didn't win the popular vote despite his alleging 3 million, you know, or whatever it is, illegal votes or all that kind of stuff. He didn't win the popular vote, but he did win the
Electoral College. Yeah.
And yet very few people seem to have voted for him. I don't know who these people are that voted for him, but nobody seems to have voted for him because everybody's against him. And I mean, everything that he does is wrong. They're voting for him. They're signing petitions to get him out before he ever starts.
It's Soviet Russia. Trump votes for you.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it seems strange to me that he ever got elected in the first place.
Yeah.
I really have to ask the question, would it be the same way if Hillary got elected?
Probably, in the other direction.
I mean, would it be those, because that's what I kept hearing about. When Hillary wins this election, all those Trump supporters are going to be out throwing Molotov cocktails and everything else at people.
Yeah.
So,
well, they thought she was going to go to jail for emails and all that stuff, too.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a very confusing time, and it's hard to know what to believe and what is rhetoric and everything else that's going on, you know?
We just need some moderation. Everybody be a moderate.
Where are the adults? No adults anymore. There's no heroes.
They left the room.
It's just people. I mean, and fake news. You got all this fake news, and you got alternative facts. I mean, what do we believe anymore? I mean, even, you know, Bill O'Reilly, he's in sexual harassment suits. What are we doing?
Have you ever seen the video of Bill O'Reilly when he's yelling at the TV screen when it's like early on in his career? He's like, fine, we'll just do it now. We'll do it now.
Yeah, I saw that just not too long ago. I think somebody put that on our website, didn't they?
Oh, he freaks out. Or
not on our website, but on our Facebook page?
Maybe, I don't know. I didn't see it.
There was somewhere that just popped up here recently. I was watching that.
We'll do it live.
Do
fine.
When you're public. I mean, in the good old days, we had David Brinkley and Chet Huntley to bring us the news. They were people you could believe. You remember them?
I have no idea who they are.
You don't know who they are? The Huntley-Brinkley Report every night came to us. When they told you what was going on in the world, you could believe it. There are no adults left. Where did they go?
Well, one adult who wrote about impeachment is Yale Law School professor Charles L. Black, and he wrote a 1974 book called Impeachment, a Handbook. So if you're interested in impeachment, you could read that. It might be kind of shed some light on impeachment and how to go about it.
You know what, Mike? In my research, not only can federal employees be impeached, but state representatives can be impeached as well. As a matter of fact, there have been 8 governors, 13 that are impeached, 8 that have actually been removed. Were you aware of that?
I knew there was a process for state officials like that, but I I don't actually have a current count on how many there are.
Well, now most of them are fairly back in time where I wouldn't hold you responsible for, but there's one that you should be aware of that you might even have some connection to the state this fellow was from.
Oh, you're referring to...
you might know something about.
Archmore?
No, Archmore was... he was indicted after he was governor.
They former, got him. Former governor
they got
of West
him
Virginia.
Afterwards, yeah, the former governor of West Virginia. And his daughter, Shelley Moore Capito, is now one of our state Senate representatives.
Yeah. No, I don't know who.
Rob Blagojevich, I can't even say it, from Illinois.
Yeah. You
remember what? Illinois.
You're making some Illinois over there.
I know, I'm making some Illinoisers that are be upset. But do you remember what he got removed for?
It's corruption. Wasn't he taking bribes?
Yeah, for one specific thing.
I don't remember.
He sold Barack Obama's Senate seat.
Oh, yeah, that's
when
right.
When Barack Obama was elected president, he still had 2 years left on his term in the Senate, I think. And he basically sold Barack Obama's seat to the highest bidder.
Going once, going twice, sold.
Yeah, so he went in.
Sold to the gentleman on the Gold Coast.
There have actually been 8 governors that were removed for different reasons. One of them, when he found out they were going to remove him, he declared martial law so that they couldn't remove him in 1923. John C. Walton of Oklahoma. But they ended up removing him anyway. So even martial law won't save you.
But martial football will. So go Herd.
There you go. Now it's time for...
Legal briefs. So legal briefs is the part of the show where we go over some different terms we talked about. And usually it's me quizzing Tommy to make sure he was paying attention and understood some of the things that I talked about.
I was probably opening a Guinness and pouring it, so I may not have.
It could
make
been.
A lot of noise, too.
They do.
I bet that shows up on the podcast.
My tumbler is making some noise, too, with the ice. It was like...
I know. We're noisy. I got a lot of construction going on here.
Well, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs or something.
Opening a few beers.
Yeah, there you go. So the first term is treason.
Treason. Well, that's when you do things that are contrary to your country's good. You give away secrets or betray things or betray your government or whatever. Have to ask, what's his name? Jack Bauer. He'll probably set you straight on that.
Jack Bauer. He'll tell you what treason is.
Yeah.
He's probably busy going rogue right now. I don't think he can talk.
He can't talk. Well, he is the president now. He's a designated survivor.
Oh, I was talking about 24.
Well, I know, but he's now the designated survivor.
Has he gone rogue again?
Yeah.
The next term is bribery.
Bribery? Well, that's accepting money to do things.
Well, I accept money to do things in my job.
Well, but do things that politically motivated things and stuff like that, or, you know, award contracts or something like that.
Abuse your position
for money.
There, yeah, that sounds a bit more like it. There's a little bit open-ended there. When you take money to do things.
See, I'm not open to bribes, so I don't know anything about that.
I am, in case anybody's curious, so.
I hate to hear that about you, little buddy.
No.
Now I can't recommend you.
No, I'm just like a hired gun.
A hired gun.
That's right.
Court appointed.
Impeachment.
Well, it pertains to federal employees, and if they've done something that's a high crime or misdemeanor or bribery or treason, then this House has to vote them by a simple majority, and the Senate has to vote them by a two-thirds majority.
Exactly. But as you just pointed out to us a second ago, it could also be in a state court, too, or state system
can
well.
Also remove them.
So, in the last term, high crimes and misdemeanors.
It's a very vague term, according to Gerald Ford, and James Madison said they wanted to keep it vague so that it could cover most anything, but it does not discover? It does not cover maladministration, which means you're just not very good at what you do.
You can be incompetent.
You can be incompetent, and they can't remove you for that. Just being an idiot.
Be incompetent, but don't be a crook.
Or tweeting stuff out that you shouldn't be tweeting out. They can't remove you for that. That's just the way it is, you know. That's just the way those. Here's another thing I found was interesting that I read.
You can't be impeached for being a troll.
No, and you can't be impeached for things that people already knew about. Like, you know, the stuff that came out when they were during the election where Trump made his comments to Billy Bush on the bus about how he treated women and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't come turn around later and say, oh, he's guilty of sexual assault. Because what they're saying is, public already knew about it. And they voted him president anyway.
Yeah.
So you can't turn around and say, now, that's something that we can impeach him on. So, you know, there's things like that. If you have prior knowledge of these events. So, you know, in a lot of these cases, you know, like I say, just like with Clinton, it wasn't what he did. It was that he lied about it. Same type thing with a lot of these things. If you already know about it and the public has already approved you, you can't go back now and say, well, that's a crime when the public already said it's okay because they voted for you, even though nobody admits to it.
So if the public already knew you took all that money from Russia, then I guess you're shielded for it?
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Not buying that.
You're not buying that?
No.
Well, you said you're subject to bribes. What if Putin handed you money? Now, you can't insult Putin. He's our only listener in Russia. We've already figured that out. From our demographics, we've got one listener, and it was right on the number of episodes we had released. It's got to be Putin. He's listening to us.
I don't want to bribe from Putin. I just want to train judo with Putin.
I don't want to. I want to ride horses with him.
You can ride horses with Putin.
We will go over there, comrade.
It sounds like a new band, Horses with Putin.
Horses with Putin.
Yeah.
Let's start that band.
No, let's not. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.